Well, let's pray together as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that this morning we can hear you speak to us through your word. Father, we pray that you would speak loudly and clearly, and that this morning as we hear your word, we would have a reason to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing in him, we might have eternal life. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, why should you believe in Jesus? Why should you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Because on the surface, that seems like rather a bizarre thing to believe, especially in today's day and age. In a day when we have cars and we have the internet and we have modern medicine, we don't really engage with the supernatural on a day-to-day basis. And you might be watching today and you might be thinking just that. How can anyone believe in Jesus? Isn't it just a bunch of made-up stories about a great man, maybe even a prophet for sure? But isn't it a bit far-fetched, you might think, to believe that Jesus is actually God, that Jesus is actually the Son of God? Well, this morning, I'd like to ask you to bear with me for about 20 minutes, because I want to give you three reasons why Jesus really is the Son of God. And in fact, they're not my reasons at all. Best of all, they're not my reasons, because they're the reasons which Jesus gives in our passage this morning. They're Jesus' reasons why you should believe that he is the Son of God. Although Jesus doesn't call them reasons, he actually calls them in this passage, he calls them testimonies. So if you've got a Bible there, it would be really wonderful if you could turn with me back to John chapter 5 and verses 31 to 47, to that passage which Liz read for us a little bit earlier on. But don't worry if you've not got a Bible there with you, because we'll make sure that all the verses which we refer to will appear on the screen at the right time as well. Well, why should you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, the first reason that you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God is the eyewitnesses to Jesus. And we're going to see this in verses 31 to 39 of our passage. Now, Jesus here in chapter 5, he's having a bit of an argument. He's having a bit of a barney with the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. You see, it's the Sabbath. It's the Jewish special day of rest. And Jesus has just performed an incredible miracle. Earlier on in John chapter 5, Jesus has healed a paralyzed man in an instant, a man who's been unable to walk for 38 years. And it's incredible. But the Jewish leaders, they're not impressed, because Jesus, in their view, has broken the law. They're absolutely livid because Jesus heals this man on the Sabbath, on the day of rest, and then he tells the man to pick up his mat, the mat that he'd been sat on for all those years, and carry it home. And John tells us that for that crime, the Jewish leaders decided to persecute Jesus. And it's in response to this that we find Jesus speaking to the Jewish leaders, speaking to the leaders who've decided that they're going to persecute him, maybe even kill him, all because he made a man pick up and carry a mat on the Jewish day of rest. You could say that the Jewish leaders are deeply, deeply skeptical about who Jesus claims that he is. Well, Jesus begins in verse 31 by saying this. He says, "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true." In other words, Jesus is saying he could stand up and try to defend himself to the Jewish leaders. He could argue with them about why he is the Son of God. But he's not going to do that. Instead, he's going to point to three different lines of evidence, three different reasons why he really is the Son of God. And so, like a good lawyer in a courtroom, Jesus calls upon his first witness. He calls an eyewitness to come and testify about him. And he calls upon John the Baptist. And in verse 33, he says this. He says, "You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth." And in verse 35, he says, "John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light." And what I love about this is that Jesus is saying, look here, John the Baptist can testify about me. He knows who I really am. He knows that I am the Son of God. He's my eyewitness. He's not just any old eyewitness, because, of course, he's a prophet. He's a holy man. He's respected. He's the real deal. And in fact, you yourselves think so much. You know how good he is that you sent for him. And you chose for a time to enjoy what he was saying. Well, that is, obviously, until he said one or two inconvenient things. He said a few things that they didn't like. And so they stopped listening to him. You see, John the Baptist is an eyewitness to Jesus. He testifies to the fact that Jesus really is the Son of God. But we don't just have to stop there with one eyewitness, because the gospel accounts are absolutely stuffed with eyewitnesses to Jesus. There is, of course, the paralyzed man earlier in the chapter who Jesus healed. He would make a wonderful start for an eyewitness to call. And then there's those disciples who follow Jesus around, disciples like John and Peter and James. Then there's the women that the Gospels mention. There's Mary, of course, Jesus' mother. There's Mary Magdalene. There's Mary and Martha and others. There are so many eyewitnesses to Jesus, so many who can testify to the fact that Jesus really is the Son of God. For the Apostle Paul, who wrote about 20 years later, he could say with all confidence that there were over 500 people who were still alive who could testify to the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead, who could testify that Jesus really was the Son of God. After all, it's why we have four Gospels. Why we don't just have John's Gospel or Mark's Gospel, but we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because they're all recording what happened. They're all recording the marvelous events around Jesus' life. They're all testifying to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And if you've never read a gospel before, or you've not read one in many years before, let me encourage you to do so, to read an eyewitness account of Jesus' life. I've got one here. This is the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest of the four accounts, and it would take you about an hour and a half to read from start to finish. And if you've not got one, then I'd love to hear from you. Why not leave a comment down below, and I'd love to give you one of these for you to read for yourself, for you to hear from the eyewitnesses, the very people who actually saw Jesus, the very people who witnessed the things which Jesus did and said, so that you could hear for yourself about how Jesus is the Son of God, and to weigh up the eyewitness account. The first reason that Jesus gives us why we can believe that he is the Son of God is the eyewitnesses. And he calls upon John the Baptist to come and testify to him. Well, that should have been enough. But Jesus wants to go further. As we'll see together, that the second reason for us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God are the works of Jesus. The works of Jesus. And this is from verses 36. Verse 36 says, "I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. What are the works of Jesus? Well, for a start, they're the miraculous signs that Jesus performs. And there's the one that Jesus did right at the start of the chapter. It's a miracle of medicine that no hospital, no doctor could perform today, when Jesus heals a man who's been paralyzed for 38 years. And that's before we see Jesus feeding the 5,000 with a few rolls and a couple of fish. It's before we see Jesus walking on water. It's before we see Jesus raising Lazarus back up to life again. See, the miracles in the Gospels, the works of Jesus, they're there to show us that Jesus is no ordinary man. He's the Son of God. But the works of Jesus, they don't just stop there with the miracles. Because as we saw last time in John's Gospel, one of the jobs which Jesus is doing still today is that he's giving life. So whenever someone believes in Jesus, whenever someone becomes a Christian today, they're born again. And Jesus begins to make them new inside. He begins to change them forever. Because Jesus changes lives. He radically transforms us. And when someone becomes a Christian, Jesus is working within them to change them, to change the whole direction of their life. I love to hear stories about how people have become Christians, about how their lives have been transformed by him. We've got some on our website. If you want to read about the lives of some of the people within our own church family who have been changed forever by Jesus. But every Christian, every single person whose life has been radically transformed by Jesus, their changed life is evidence about who Jesus is. It's part of the reason why you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And of course, the greatest work that Jesus came to do was when he came to die. He came to die on the cross, and then 3 days later to rise triumphantly from the grave. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, he came into the world to die. He came into the world to give his life, to die in the place of every single person who believes in him. Because he came to die, to take the punishment that we deserve. That we deserve for every single wrong thing we have ever done. And he did it because of his incredible love. And then 3 days later, to prove that the job was done, to show us that the work was completed, he rose again from the dead. The tomb that they buried him in was empty. Jesus was alive again. And he appeared again and again and again to hundreds of eyewitnesses. You see, you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God because of his works, because of the incredible miracles that he does in the gospel. Because of the lives that he's still changing today. And because of his incredible resurrection from the dead. All the works of Jesus, they all testify to the fact that he is the Son of God. They're all cast iron pieces of evidence. They're all credible reasons why you can believe, why you can believe that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. The third reason that Jesus gives us for believing that he is the Son of God is because the Bible itself gives us reason to believe. And the Bible is the Word of God, the words that God has spoken for us. Jesus says to the Jewish leaders, he says in verse 37 and onwards, he says this, "And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you. For you do not believe the one he sent. you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Now, it's important to break down what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that first, that God the Father himself gives evidence that Jesus is his son. And he does this through the scriptures, through the Bible, which when we rightly understand the Bible, when we read it correctly, we'll see that it's all pointing to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, when we rightly understand the Bible, all of it, from beginning to end, all of it speaks about Jesus. Now, when Jesus was talking to the Jewish leaders, they only had what we call the Old Testament. That is the first 39 books in the Bible, the ones which were given to the Jews over a period of about 1,000 years. That's from Genesis all the way through to Malachi. And when we read those correctly, when we read from Genesis to Malachi, it's all about Jesus. So when we open the Bible at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, page 1 of our Bibles essentially, when we read about God creating the world by his word, rightly understood, that's Jesus, the Word, who is creating the world, because he is God's Son, because he is the Word of God. When everything goes wrong in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sin and they break God's laws, God promises in chapter 3, in the midst of his judgments about what's going to happen to them next, he promises that one of Eve's descendants, one of her great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, he is going to be the serpent crusher. He's going to be the one who's going to come and break the curse of sin. And that's Jesus. When Moses, the great prophet and leader of God's people, when he led the people out of slavery in Egypt and he led them out into the wilderness on towards the promised land, he told them that one day an even greater prophet would come, an even greater leader of God's people, and that's Jesus. When Isaiah the prophet, when he speaks about the suffering servant, about who God would punish for our sins, that's Jesus. When Malachi, the final prophet of the Old Testament, when he prophesies about a son of righteousness who will rise with healing in his wings, that's Jesus. You see, the whole Old Testament, all of it, speaks about Jesus. Because it's God's word. It's all pointing, it's all testifying to the fact that Jesus is God's Son. And it's not just the Old Testament, of course, but the New as well. The next 27 books and letters that make up the New Testament. See, when we read the Gospels, when we rightly understand the letters, and when we see the wonderful deeds which happen in the Acts of the Apostles, it's all pointing to the fact, it's all testifying to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. So if Jesus is able to marshal all this testimony about himself, if Jesus is able to point to the eyewitnesses, to the work that he does, to the miracles, to the fact that all of the scriptures, when they're rightly understood, point to him, why don't the Jewish leaders believe? What's their problem? After all, they've got Jesus standing right there in front of them. I'd love to be able to meet Jesus for myself. One day I will. But I'd love in this life to be able to meet him, to quiz him, to watch him work, to learn from him. And the Jewish leaders, they could do all that. And despite the fact that Jesus is in front of them, despite the overwhelming evidence, despite the mountains of reasons why they should believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they don't. Why is that? Well, I think it is. Because fourthly and finally this morning, I think they don't believe because of the cost of believing Jesus. The cost of believing Jesus. And this is in verses 41 to 47. Jesus says to the leaders who are persecuting him in verse 42, he says, "I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe, since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" You see, there's a cost to believing in Jesus. And for the Jewish leaders, that's a cost of glory. Currently, they're sat at the top of the pile in Jerusalem. They've got on everything. For some of them, they're very wealthy. For others, it's power. They're male. They run the temple. They run the religion. They set the laws which control the people's lives. And they have all the glory for themselves. And giving up that power, giving up that glory to God, it's a cost that's too much for them. Despite all the reasons that Jesus gives for believing in him, they want the power. They want the honor. They want all the glory to themselves. You see, refusing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, in the face of all of the evidence, all the reasons to believe, all the testimonies to him, it's a moral choice. Refusing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God is to refuse to give God the glory. And to follow Jesus, to become a Christian, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, it will cost you. It'll cost you your life. Because you no longer belong to yourself. Your life will belong to God. It'll cost you your reputation as you become the weird one in your family for believing in God. It might cost you your money as you change your career, as you choose to give money away to charity for the good of others. It might cost you your comfort. It might cause you to suffer. It might cause you hardship. But whatever it is, to follow Jesus will cost you. Elsewhere, Jesus says that if we are to follow him, we must deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow after him. The cross, of course, is the instrument of death, of execution in the Roman Empire. To follow Jesus will cost you everything. And so this morning, let me ask you, what is it? What is it that stops you from following Jesus? What is it that stops you from believing that Jesus is the Son of God? I mean, this might be very new to you. In which case, I'd love to encourage you to read a gospel, to meet Jesus for yourself. I'd love to send you one of these. If you've not got one, if you've not got access to a Bible, I'd love to send you one to allow you to meet Jesus for yourself. But when you read a gospel, I encourage you to do so with an open mind. I encourage you to do so with the awareness that it'll cost you. Now, you might have been coming to church for a very long time indeed. And you're just on the verge of deciding to follow Jesus for yourself. In which case, I'd urge you to count the cost, to know that it will cost you, and to believe. And by believing, you'll be choosing eternal life. It might, of course, be that you've been following Jesus for years and years and years. It will have cost you. You will have given glory to God. But from the perspective of eternity, it'll be so worth it. Because God loves you with an unbreakable love. God is working for your good today, as he will be tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, on and on and on into eternity. Because Jesus came into this world to give his life for you. He is the one that the eyewitnesses have told you about. He is the one that is working for you. He is the one that God himself testifies about in his word. And he is the only one who gives eternal life today. Let's pray to him, the Son of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Son of God, and that this morning, that if we believe in you, we might have eternal life. I long that all who hear this message this morning, wherever they might be, might open their eyes to the evidence for you, might open their eyes to see that you are the Son of God. Help us all to hear and to believe and to enjoy your eternal life forever and ever. Amen.